Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. On this longest day of the year, tomorrow and today, the shortest night, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Ronan, Montana, and I am joined by Ann.
Ann Ortley down here in Florida. One more week and I head home on Tuesday. So heading north. Yes, it is.
And it's
really interesting. Really interesting solstice where the sun stops and it kind of sits there. And in the southern hemisphere, it's the shortest day, and it stops and then it reverses direction. So I'm very excited. I've been watching where it sets every night, and now
isn't that fascinating?
Starting tomorrow, it's going to go back the old way, back across where it's been, because it travels 46 degrees from one end to the other in the course of the year. So it's been fun watching the sunset since I've been down in Florida, watching it set and then move every night 1 degree. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's stopping and turning back. So I'll have a week.
And usually it's about 3 days that it stops and stays in one place.
Right,
and we're also joined by Mark Wultz. Mark.
Yeah, hi Mark. How are you?
Hello, Ann. Happy solstice.
Happy solstice.
Yay. Yeah, and we were just talking about how it holds fear. In New Mexico, at Chaco Canyon and many of the smaller kivas in where they hold rituals in the Southwest, there's a particular window, and they mark where the sun goes. And when it stops in one place for 3 days, they know that the season has changed. And it's a way, everybody has one somewhere, so that when you know that 3 days it stops in one place and starts to go back, then 10 days from then you meet for a dance or something like that. It's one of the great timers all over the Southwest. So it's really lovely to see that marked so carefully and so clearly, like it stands for 3 days in the wintertime. Around the birth, around the winter solstice, and then 3 days later, supposedly the sun was reborn, or the sun, our sun, S-U-N-S-O-N, and now here it's and the days grow shorter after tomorrow,
a minute
which is
shorter
hard for
every
us
day.
To believe.
Yeah, a minute shorter every day. Yeah, it's a little sad, but we're heading towards fall. Once it gets to the top of the ecliptic, it goes, okay, heading back towards the equator, heading towards the winter solstice. Yeah, so
but
it's kind of a
mess. But the heat acts like a cushion behind it. So the heat, the planet heats up for a while. And so even though the days are getting shorter, the weather's getting hotter for the next few weeks, next
That's
month.
Almost 2 months,
Yep, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and tonight the moon is about to go into Aries. It'll be heading into Aries in about 2 hours from now, from a couple of days in Pisces, and I am looking forward to that. I'm not good when the moon's in Pisces opposite all my Virgo, and I get fuzzy. If I have nothing to do, it's lovely, but if I have anything to do, I get cranky. And tomorrow, Venus is trine Pluto, and I know about 5 people who have either just said goodbye to a parent or are about to say goodbye to a parent. And all of the parents are dying at, appropriate times at the end of a long and happy life. And that's, often we have kind of tough illness deaths in the wintertime. In the summer, I'm seeing, it's like the fullness of their day is done. And Venus trine Pluto, it brings us to our hearts in a beautiful way, poignant, powerful, but often get somewhere, we do something with it, which is beautiful.
Right.
So summer begins tomorrow at 5:13 a.m. in the East Coast, 3:13 out here in Montana. Interesting to see.
After Venus trines Pluto, she goes into Gemini this week.
Yep.
So she's very... she's going to shift focus and be very chatty, which is always good. But also the sun in Cancer is answering to moon in fire in Sagittarius, mm-hmm. or in Aries. Mm-hmm. So they're in mutual reception, which makes it be like the sun is in Aries and the moon's in Cancer. Makes for mm-hmm. a very passionate, because this chart, the Ingress chart, tells us what the season is going to be like. So it makes for a very fiery year, next fiery 3 months for sure. So mm-hmm. quite a lot of passion mm-hmm. up there with the Venus-Pluto trine.
Quite a lot of passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Rose.
And
yeah,
also.
Mm-hmm. There's
yep,
more
Mark.
Passion than conflict. There's more passion than there is conflict,
yeah.
which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, being, you know, Mars in Aries still is in there, and Mars is moving slowly over the next few weeks to square Pluto, and that will add a little conflict, but also,
yeah,
you know, it reminds us what really matters to us with our passion, not to just kind of throw our emotional weight around, but what matters to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, Venus
yeah.
in Gemini is probably the most flirtatious time of the year. Which can be a little tricky with Mars and Aries, but it's a great time to meet new people, make new friends. It helps a little extroversion there with the Sun in Cancer, which can be so introverted. So I really like having Venus in Gemini as a time when, you know, people are coming out of their post-pandemic shells and starting to reconnect. I think that's going to be hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I think it gives us a lot of energy in terms of forward motion, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, kind of, okay, let's figure out how we can communicate about this. What are the kinds of things we want to do? What does that look like? And, of course, the Sun changing and Venus changing, both whenever planets change, we're shifting, really, we shift the feel. You know, the Sun goes out
mm-hmm.
of Gemini into Aries or into Cancer and gets more sensitive and emotional and caring or passionate both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then Venus going out of her rulership into Gemini has more dialogue, more conversation, more ways of talking. Mark, what do you see when they change like this?
Yeah, there's a shift always in the psyche and also in the behavior of all of us. So that collectively, we all, when Venus goes into Gemini, all of us have a little part in that. So we say,
yeah.
Oh, how can I express Venus going into Gemini? And we get that multiplied by millions, and
yeah.
it gives Venus a little boost.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. It makes for a fun new story kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
There's going to be some interesting conversation. I mean, today, Mercury sextile Jupiter, so I've been hearing some really good ideas bandied about. What I'm still not hearing is anybody reacting to, you know, with all the political stuff that's going on, no one's really acknowledging that we're basically ignoring the climate crisis that's getting worse and very clearly worse. You know, up here we have some of the worst floods we've ever had, the worst floods ever hit Yellowstone. Tomorrow, most of the country, a good third of the country, is going to be over 90 degrees and
mm-hmm.
some of it way above that. And 70% of the population will see temperature in the 90s. 20% of the people will be hotter than 100 degrees tomorrow. It's in America. There's a couple of towns in Africa that are on the last few weeks of water that they have. And, you know, this is still, and still there is legislature going in, heading to the Supreme Court to stop the federal government from taking action against climate change that would, you know, trying to protect oil and coal and all the other pieces. Because of the economic impact it would have, not acknowledging the cost that's going on that is other than economic costs. So
right.
it's going to be, you know, America, usually our country has to experience it in a visceral way before we step forward. I remember when med waste started washing up, you know, sharp needles on the beaches of America, 30 years ago, suddenly there was recycling, and it was very hard to get any recycling or, you know, proper new restrictions on how waste was disposed until that happened. And it was like, oh, can't have that. And we need to feel it in an animalistic, visceral sense that there is danger. And I think the weather's really part of that this year. You know, with Neptune still in Pisces, Neptune goes from Pisces now into Aries. Not for a while yet, but it will. And I often see aspects to and from Neptune affecting our weather systems. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, especially Neptune rules the oceans, and we're getting these hurricanes off the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. And when Neptune goes into Aries, you bring more heat and you bring more wind. It's
right.
Stronger.
Yeah.
And since Neptune's been in Pisces, we've had much more water in some places and much less water in others.
Yeah.
And so, it's water extremes.
Yeah. It's like shifting on some level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Not good.
Oh, that's
so
not good.
You know, I also think with the energy being the way it's set up this year, it's going to be a pretty hot summer with the, you know, the Ingress chart's kind of promising heat. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we work with all that energy because it's got a potency that's really strong. And I think one of the, you know, when you're looking at the, you know, weather is actually ruled by the planets, right? It's the Farmer's Almanac was Ben Franklin keeping track of the astrology and saying, hey, this is when it's going to be a good growing season. But with all the fire in the sky at the Ingress chart, that makes for a hot, hot summer and drought, you know. So it'll be interesting. And then we have the Neptune sextiling Saturn right now, which is destroying. I mean, I saw those bridges wiped out in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
It really took them right off the road, you know.
Right off the road. The whole northern third of Yellowstone is closed for at least this year.
Yeah. But Yellowstone's one of those parks that's in a few states, right?
Yes. It's mainly in Montana, but it's got Montana, Wyoming. It's mainly in Wyoming, but the entrance is in Montana. But it's in that corner. And then there's the Yellowstone ecosystem, which is all around it. So that whole, south of the mountain areas got a lot of snow, late snow, not during, it was just standard snowpack during the winter. Got late snow, and the rains have just been stalling out in this area and not going to the east, not going to the south, but just pouring over us in an unusual pattern. That has made it, I mean, part of it's because the heat dome in the center is not allowing the rains to leave our area, so they just keep spinning in place. Pours and pours and pours and pours here.
Mm.
So, it's an interesting part of that process. So how would we, everybody, the summer solstice is a beautiful time in most rituals to kind of just celebrate the life force. And it usually switches from that Gemini buzz to we want to go home. You know, you're coming back to New York. We want to reconnect with family. It's picnic season, I think of, is the sun in Cancer. And how would you help people deal with the energy right now? With the sun going into Cancer, Mars still in Aries, Venus heading into Gemini. Thoughts on how people can negotiate this week?
Well, I think, from my perspective, one of my favorite astrologers is a woman named Maria Wander, and she always goes, it's energy. Use it wisely, don't look at it. It's very energized. There's a lot of stuff flying around. Harness it and use it. So it's really kind of saying, okay, rather than arguing, fighting, whatever, what's my vision of how I want to get there? What's my vision of what I want to do? And use that energy in that way. Mars is super strong. He is having, Venus and he and Aries are all having an argument. So there's a lot of energy around arguing. And we had the sun last week, you know, in aspect to Saturn and Neptune, trining Saturn, squaring Neptune. And then this week we had Venus, last week we had Venus squaring Saturn, trining, sextiling Neptune. And then Pallas Athena does that this week. So I think we're getting the Supreme Court justice ruling handed down this week from on Roe versus Wade. I think probably tomorrow, actually. But I think it's really understanding.
That Venus-Pluto trine.
The Venus-Pluto trine,
yep.
Plus the...
There's going to be a lot of emotional response to that.
Yeah, a lot of emotional response. Very angry, you know, angry feminine, right? So, but it's also,
right.
Well, take that angry and move it get it going. So that's what I say is, like, look at your planets, figure out how you can activate them, what they can do to move forward, because the energy is activating energy. And so what's the positive expression of your planets towards getting something done, right? And each of them has a way. Yeah. Mark, what do you do?
It's important not to fall into the anger yourself, but be able to direct it around you. It's kind of like Aikido, you know. you use the energy of your opponent to flip the opponent around. And I say that because there's a lot of communication with Venus going into Gemini and Mercury in Gemini. You know, there's a lot going on to communicate. And they're trying to... Venus is trying to Pluto before she goes into Gemini. So it's a useful... Don't be afraid of arguments. Instead, just use them. Because they'll bring out the points that you want to cover. Only you can let other people bring them out and have the argument. And you can just gently nudge the argument this way or that way. So don't be afraid of it. Just nudge it.
Yeah, because that's what you can actually do about the argument. There's not a lot of other stuff you can do except say, okay, let's look at it, let's explore it, let's understand why you're saying what you're saying. And it does have a little bit of an opportunity for dialogue, which I think is important too, because we haven't been necessarily dialoguing. We have been, you know, arguing and fighting. So what does the dialogue look like? So... That's good. Heather, what
and
do you say?
And on the other side of that, I think, you know, there's only so much dialogue. Dialogue takes people willing to have open minds. Mm-hmm. And I see some chances for dialogue, but a lot of chances for where there isn't dialogue, we have to be able to dig in our heels and hold the point because it will be pushed. So I also see the Jupiter in Aries is asking us to liberate through action, you know, to speak up, to be rebellious, to, you know, and both sides are having this experience. It's not just one rebellion or the other. There is a lot of action happening. How do we do this in a good way? How do we, you know, really speak up for our position and our cause? That's a witnessing rather than an arguing. It's just holding our ground and speaking our truth and voting it, taking action, speaking up, showing up in mass when we need to. So, you know, I think that, it can mean too much conflict, Jupiter in Aries, and we certainly see that in Ukraine, but I think also for all of us, it can be the confidence to witness what we believe and know.
And that makes for a very interesting energy of time, you know, in terms of how we work with it and how it shows up, you know, because we're witnessing it, but we're also working with it in a different way. And I think that, you know, that's the other part. You know, one of the things I was working on, I'm working on a lecture for a situation, and, you know, it's this whole thing about, well, what's your vision of what you want your life to look like? What, you know, that we're at these changing times. We've all had, you know, we all went through the COVID business. We're all kind of looking at the structures of our life and trying to figure out what next because that pause kind of made us, you know, almost a forced sabbatical from the world. And so it's like, all right, well, you know, having had your sabbatical, now with your newfound time by yourself, what is your, what's your purpose? Why are you here? What's your, mm-hmm. what's your goal on, you know, being on planet Earth at this time? So I think that's an important consideration to say too, because we're working out with Jupiter in Aries. He's saying, hey, new big cycle, folks. Let's get this new cycle rolling. We're ready for action, right? So I think, you know, honoring that we're all in the mood to take action and get stuff done, that helps a lot, because then people are going to really feel like they've, you know, you've been thinking about it, you know what you're trying to do, and okay, now let's do it, right? So it's interesting times we live in. So,
and on that note, let's take a caller.
Okay.
And 650815, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My name is Carla, and I was born September 6, 1965.
Okay, 9/6/1965, you said?
Correct.
And what time?
At 10 a.m. in the city of it's called Ambala, A-M-B-A-L-A.
Ambala where?
In India, in Haryana.
India.
Mm-hmm. Haryana, India, yeah.
And what is your question?
My question is this. All my life I've been trying to find like a tribe, and it's been very difficult. And about 6 months ago I moved, and it's ever since I moved, actually, I've been feeling feeling the emptiness of not having a tribe or a social circle, and it's actually very frustrating. And I'm wondering if you see anything in the chart, like, will it change? Because I've actually never felt the loss before. I mean, I've always been friendly, but more of an introvert, where I didn't.
And where are you living now?
I'm in New York City.
Okay.
But it's really hit me the most now.
Yeah. And I think you're really ready to feel elevated there. And where did you move from when you moved to New York City? Did you move from India, or were you?
No.
You said
I
moved.
Wasn't.
Oh, within New York City.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, from New
so
Jersey.
You know, natally, you've got some real issues around community, with that Sun conjunct Uranus and Pluto in your house of community and groups and togetherness, that you usually need to break out of a sense of isolation. Scorpio rising, Mars and Neptune in the first house. People don't see your Venus in Libra in the 12th that wants to connect and is so friendly and loving. They see your a great sense of reserve and competence when they meet you. You've got, you know, as a fellow Virgo, they tend to do that with Virgos. Like, oh, they got it together. Mm-hmm. Let's leave them alone. But, you know, but how you bond is around Uranus and Pluto events. So when there's an emergency, you can bond with everybody. They love you. If you're dealing with a group who's dealing with something important, right away you connect with them. But if there's nothing Pluto or Uranus about your group, your interactions, it's hard for you to break your personal reserve. You know, you'll go to the same store and smile and say nice things, but you won't really connect with people. And it's really important for you right now with Uranus in your progress moon is going through the bottom of your chart. You want to be at home. Your progress moon is in Aquarius. You want to be home in a community. So you
I'm
have to find, like, what are your interests? What are your, you know, this is like if you're dealing with a yoga group or a meditation group or a hospice team or, you know, people that are dealing with starving puppies, that if you've got something that matters, you connect to people well. Without it, it's a little hard.
I'm already volunteering, but I just have, I'm volunteering, but it's not fulfilling enough. I need more. I'm looking for a social outlet, and I've been trying to you know, make that work. But it's just like people don't seem interested in connecting. And I'm like, oh, my God, what does it take?
Again, I would say that you know, New York can be like that anyway, but
yeah.
It can be a
yeah.
sense of reserve. Do you have any spiritual, you know, group that you're part of? Do you meditation group
no.
or a see, I
no,
think that might be some place that would really yeah. open your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see?
I did try.
I say go
yeah,
to the
please.
Tibet Center. They have a meditation group there, and I think you would find some community there. It is, they have public meditation, but also you're having Pluto on your Jupiter, in conjunct your Jupiter right now. So you're really, your charts are really getting pushed, or quincunx your Jupiter, pushed. It does look like there's positive relationship stuff coming in because your charts
yes.
are ready to let that happen. That's going to happen
oh.
as we go into the early part of next year. And also when we get to the end of the middle of October, there's a lovely new 8-year relationship cycle starting for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, it is necessary for you to get out and about. And right now with Cancer, you know, when you're living in New York, you're living on your zero Cancer line. So it's a
mm-hmm.
very exquisite kind of sadness is the way your chart feels. But there is positive stuff, but
mm-hmm.
I would maybe recommend, you know, trying the Tibet Center. It's a meditation group. It's got spiritually minded people where, you know, and I've sent clients there, and they meet
mm-hmm.
people. It's kind of a magical
mm-hmm.
place for meeting because people are there to, you know, connect with people
mm-hmm.
that have, you know, you need a deeper person.
Right.
As part of your tribe.
Or the Unitarian Church, or any group that's exploring philosophy and spirituality and meditation and trying to walk
right.
their talk. You really
right.
just need something to break your reserve and their sense of reserve.
Right, right. And Mark, what
okay.
do you think?
And,
think of yourself as a contributor. And
mm-hmm.
you're contributing.
I do.
You're
yeah.
good, because that's what draws people to you. You have a little trouble seeing that. And really accepting that they are interested is kind of a barrier that you don't realize how it got there, but it's just a sort of part of the trial and error process as you meet people. But basically think of yourself as contributing to any conversation, and not in a big way, not in a leading way, but in a way that keeps everything going.
Yeah, and you do have
yeah.
good aspects with Mars back and forth in your eighth house. This, you know, he's going into Gemini at the end of August, and he's there through next March, the end of next March. So there's a lot of opportunity coming in for relationships where you meet people in some kind of capacity tied to your mind, your meditation, your ideas about things. So you do have good aspects, and you are having really good mating partnership aspects starting next spring, but I think you meet them this fall. So I would be out the door. Anything that gathers people that are intelligent, that are interesting, because you need a smart person with your chart too. And also
mm-hmm.
you need some, you know, you need a person who, you know, not, you know, horribly serious-minded, but someone who's going to be like, okay, this feels good. But I do think you have really good aspects coming, and a lot of times when we're in that space of will I ever find anybody to talk to, will I ever meet someone, especially right now with Pluto at 28, he's talking to your Ceres, your Jupiter, your Mercury. So you've got a lot of energy about, like, I'm right at that moment of needing that breakthrough. So I wouldn't give
mm-hmm.
up. I would just get yourself out the door.
I wouldn't give up, really, honest.
Much as
mm-hmm.
right at the press.
There are people who need you. There are people who need you and your insight and your competence and your big heart. You just have
yeah.
to find a way of connecting with that.
Yeah.
So we have to go. Our time is up.
Oh, okay.
This is Heather
okay.
Roland Robbins saying goodbye from Ronan, Montana.
And Ann Ortley saying
and
goodbye from Florida.
And Mark Wolfs from New York City.
Wonderful. We hope you all have...
Tuning in.
Yeah, and have a wonderful moment of the solstice point, of bringing that light into your heart on this the longest 2 days of the year. Enjoy. Take care. And goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye now.